The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. And what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to preach from the aisle. Maybe I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night. Am I the only dad here who didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night? Was it an early morning for some households here? Actually, I was really surprised this morning at the Kimura household because this is the first year where it was actually light out when the kids woke up. And mom and dad beat the kids awake to greet Santa or see what Santa had brought this morning. But I know that our choir, don't they sound awesome today? Don't they sound beautiful? But a little bit tired, probably a little weary, huh? A lot of singing the last few days. Well, it's arrived, it's happened, and we're here. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Isn't there a wonderful peace this morning? I mean, not just the peace when you come downstairs to the tree, quiet Christmas morning, and experience that glow, but just a whole peace and tranquility to this day. It's the arrival of the day itself, but it is the arrival of the promise of the gift of salvation with the birth of Jesus Christ that happens this morning. Now we know this, we know the story, we've heard it a million times, of the story of the gift, the true gift and the true meaning of Christmas, of Christ coming into the world, the incarnation. You know, I had a professor at Divinity School who said, listen, every religion has a God that's great. Every religion has a God that is majestic, all-powerful. The difference with Christianity is that our all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God humbled himself to come into human flesh, to become human in order to live among us and to deliver us from sin and to bring to us new life and salvation that comes on Easter. Now, Christmas, of course, is the beginning, but it's the beginning in which the whole life of Jesus, leading up to and including all the terrible things around Good Friday and the resurrection on Easter, they're encapsulated in the nativity story that we share. And I do want to take a moment, because we've heard this, although we've heard the story so many times, the story of Christ's birth, to reflect a little bit, especially during this period of time in our world that seems so crazy and chaotic, to reflect not just on the fact that Jesus came into human flesh, humbled himself. God humbled himself to come into human flesh to experience life as a human, as a person, but also to reflect on the details of that incarnation and what that says about the true meaning of Christmas and the true meaning of our faith. You know, I could get all theological and everything to you about this, but did anyone see the funnies in the newspaper yesterday? The comics, I never get to see them in my household because the kids, they always race to the calendar section. But there was this wonderful comic in yesterday's funnies, La Cucaracha. Did any of you see it? Then you already get the joke that I'm going to share here. La Cucaracha, a very special Christmas holiday greeting. And there's a picture of the baby Jesus in the manger, and it says, "Please remember that I'm a Middle Eastern refugee with a Mexican name." Now, I could get all theological, but there's sometimes some truth to be said in the simple comic things, right? Because we've heard the story of Jesus coming into the world a million times, but we forget the true power of the details of that coming into the world. We heard last Sunday the story of what happened on Fourth Advent when Joseph, the, I guess, stepfather of Jesus, found out that Mary was pregnant with child. Remember that from last Sunday? And what was Joseph going to do? Let's just think back to the ancient Near East. Mary was an unwed single mother. Unwed single pregnant mother. Engaged to Joseph, but not married. Pregnant and not married. Now Joseph was a good guy, so he wasn't going to just like kick her to the curb. Because this was, remember, we think of the social stigma attached to that today. Think about how it must have been back then. Being that way was a stoning offense. A stoning offense. But Joseph says, well, I'll quietly dismiss her a little bit later on. And then God comes to Joseph and says, listen, she's pregnant with the Savior of the world. And Joseph says, I can't turn God down, right? We had the story of the Nativity of Jesus, of the Holy Family, of Mary, heavy with baby, coming into the inn. And what happens at the inn? Every kid knows this. Is there any room at the inn for them? No. Why is there no room at the inn for a heavily pregnant lady? Well, we know why. If we peel away the sentimentality of the story and we look at the real, true, harsh reality of it. The social stigma of being an unwed pregnant mother meant that it was not honorable for you to host that person in an inn. So where did they go? They went to the stable. Now what is a stable? We've got this pretty image of a stable. Now some of you know my family's story. I'm Japanese American. My family was incarcerated during World War II, along with 120,000 other Americans of Japanese descent, for no other reason besides the fact that they looked like the enemy. My grandmother was forced to live in the horse stalls at the Puyallup racetrack in Washington State as a young girl. Having done nothing wrong, her mother had already passed away, her father was incarcerated in a different internment camp, so she and her two sisters became orphaned, and they were forced to live for a period of time in a horse stall. Now we think of this image where Jesus was born, but my grandmother will never forget the indignity of having to sleep and live in a place where animals lived because of the smell of the dung. The smell of that, the subhuman conditions. This is the reality of the place that Jesus was born, a smelly barn, a smelly barn. And we have this term, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I love that term, swaddling clothes. I've never seen a swaddling clothes. Or, you know, the New Revised Standard Version says wrapped in bands of cloth. But what is that really? Wrapped in rags. Jesus was wrapped in rags. Now, I want to step back just one half a step further. Why did they have to go to Bethlehem to get registered? There was a census. Now, we know how the rest of the story, we don't really cover it in the church here, but we know there's a census because the Roman occupational government knew that the coming Messiah or leader was coming of the Jewish people and decided to slaughter every firstborn male son. You know, we don't include that in the Christmas story, but that's the context of why they had to leave. So when Cucaracha says, please remember I'm a Middle Eastern refugee, we're talking about Jesus is a refugee. He's a refugee because the government is trying to register every firstborn male Jewish son so that it can be slaughtered, so that there will be no Messiah that will save the Jewish people. That is the biblical story. Now, maybe this is a little bit more PG-13, right? And maybe there's age appropriateness and everything for our kids. But this is what we're talking about. So we talk about the incarnation, about God coming into humanity, taking on everything that involves humanity, that Jesus is born into the world, grows up, lives and loves, experiences the whole range of human life. In emotion, out of pure love for humanity, in order to be, in the end, turned away from and sacrificed on the cross on Calvary, simply in order to raise us all and forget and to redeem us from our sins. But remember, we have to also remember that it's not just that Jesus came into the world as anybody. Right? God could have chosen any circumstance, any family. In fact, when we think about how God would choose, if we thought rationally, who should God choose to be the savior of the world, to have his son born into humanity, into, we would think, well, into the royalty, right? Into the movers and shakers. No. There's something distinctive about Christianity, something wonderful. Something rich and deep at the heart of our faith. That Jesus, that God selected Jesus, a member of this most vulnerable, outcast, turned away from family and circumstances to be born into. And that makes me stand back on Christmas morning with a sense of great gratitude. A sense of great awe and wonder and thankfulness to God that he would provide a Savior that doesn't look like any other Savior, that our God is a God that doesn't express authority and power the way we would think authority and power is expressed, but does so by becoming one of us and inhabiting the life of the most weak, outcast, and vulnerable. And the message for us today, and the message for us today is one of great hope, right? Because we know our world is rocked with all sorts of political issues and concerns that have got a lot of people, including me, very anxious right now. Part of me wants to quote Ecclesiastes, right? Nothing new under the sun, right? Life has always been precarious. Politics has always been politics. Existence is dangerous. Life is precious. But I think, especially this Christmas, when we think about everything that's happening in the world, we can take heart as Christians to know that the very story of our Savior coming into the world is one that is in alignment and in solidarity with those around us who feel most scared, sad, and vulnerable at this time. Instead of bringing fear and sadness and anxiety, Jesus on Christmas brings peace, brings joy, and brings a message of endless hope that is the true gift for us, not just today, but for every day of the year. Amen.